D-H-Z, go! I used to say I'm the boss. They've hit at the most. They're doing real good, yeah. I would say they're the boss. They bring real information. If you don't know, I'm Set Nation. Dropping knowledge on the daily. Really?
Really?
These boys bring it on real. D-H-Z, know what's popping in the field. These boys bring it on real.
Recording live from the SEC Sports Pub, here's Tomas Mauricio, Heath Elsenson, and your host, David Romero.
Yeah, and B-Boys. Saints. Yeah, and B-Boys. I love this podcast. I love this podcast.
All right, we're back. BS and Beer Podcast, another week. I know it's been a long week. We just thought because of the way the week set up, last week we recorded on Tuesday. This week we decided to start on Thursday. Next week starts our two-a-days. Just as the team's two-a-days.
Oh, my God.
Oh, I'm sorry. 2 weeks.
2 weeks.
That's all right. Better. All right, yeah. 2 weeks. 2 weeks. But, hey, before we get started.
I thought we were getting a pay raise. We were going 2 days.
No, well, you know, we're going to work on that. We're going to work on that. We can get with the accounting department.
Okay.
See if we can't make some adjustments.
Okay.
To my right here is Tomas Mauricio. How you doing, Tomas?
I'm hanging. My ones and twos. How about you?
Good. Well, not that good, but to my left here, Heath Elsenson.
I'm good, Dave.
The mystery man of the Middle East.
How are you?
No, that's the Far East.
The Far East.
Oh, Elsenson.
Yeah.
All right. Well, hey, listen. So before
Middle
we get,
East.
Well, that's an old story. If y'all haven't
Western
been around
Europe,
from the beginning,
but what difference does it make?
The very first show. I said, what is that name like?
I know.
Yeah. All right. Well, hey, so before we get too far along, let's talk about our Pick'em League. It's Yahoo Pick'em League. All you got to do is go to the NFL, Yahoo NFL Pick'em.
And, Pick'em.
Yeah, and then use the ID number 46999. And the password is BSB123. Pretty simple stuff. Get in. We got a $100 grand prize at the end of the season. But now keep in mind, what we will do is during our Pick'em or sometime during the podcast, we're going to give a code word. Because what we don't want to have happen is just people who actually don't. We want this to be an interactive thing.
Yeah,
so we
right.
don't want people who just randomly find out about it and never listen to podcasts win it. And so what we're going to do is we're going to give a code word. So at the end of the season, somebody's going to have to repeat those code words. So we'll get in touch with the email or what have you. And if you're going to send me a list of those code words, and then we'll go ahead and send out that thing.
That's pretty good. I like that.
Six to 8 weeks, you know, after, you know, the whole.
Lock it down,
money.
Dave.
Yeah, you got the home. Let them have it.
Yeah, let them have it.
You know, we got to talk to the accounting department. Dewey, Cheatham, and Howe. That does all our financials for us.
That's right.
I don't see any problem get that money out in the next 6 to 8 months.
It's, right. Yeah.
Not really.
No.
By the time we have another election, I think you'll be able to.
So, okay. So what I want to start, that's a long time. Election. Jeez, and crackers.
We might not have any money left by then.
Tomas, I'm starting with some predictions. Preseason, not the preseason, but prior to the season predictions.
Yes.
All right.
All right, here we go. How many games is Ingram going to play, over and under? 10.
I'm going to go over 10.
Okay. So number one, Tomas is over.
I'm going to go over by a smidge.
A smidge?
A smidge. By a skosh.
That's
a skosh. Yeah, I like that one.
He's using those professional terms, man. Listen.
Professional Wisconsin, Minnesota term. So,
all right, here's the next one. Sacks by Sheldon Rankins. How many sacks?
Well, I thought we had an over-under.
It's not all of them.
This is a fill in the blank.
A fill in the blank. So I think that Rankins will get a total of 7 sacks.
Seven?
Are you out of your mind? Yes, okay. We know the answer to that.
Yeah,
okay,
don't answer that.
Heath?
3.
That's the same number I'm going to go with, 2-3. Three. All right.
Well, he's only going to play, what,
He's only playing eight games.
Yeah.
And he's going to come back from a broken leg. Tomas like, and?
And? What's your problem? Yeah.
Yeah, we expect big
things. Now, you said the end of the season.
Yeah.
Now, would that include the playoff games or not?
Oh, well, you know, that's a good
point. No. Regular season, season.
Thank you for help. See, now we also have the.
Now, if you're going to go regular season, I'll have to back off 2.
Let's go to the judge.
Okay, regular season. 5. You want to go 5?
I'll go 5 because it's regular season.
I like how he just. Okay. You see how he spun that? He realized, like, oh, wait, that's way too high.
Yeah.
Oh, wait, I thought you meant the extended payment plans.
Yeah.
Oh, no. We're not doing that. All right, next one. Drew Brees, yards this year, over and under, 4,500.
Oh, well, over and under again. Okay.
4,500.
Over or under. Well, let's see.
Carry to five. 16.
Mike Thomas may not play this game, so.
What? Is that breaking news that I miss?
Well, where are you?
Well, I actually been setting up for the show and everything. You tell him.
He's on the injured list. Oh, he has an ankle injury.
Rub some dirt on it. So you can come up with an answer. Listen, we are on a time schedule here. If y'all going to notice that our show's going to be during off season, it's a little free-flowing. Here during the regular season, it's going to be a little bit more structured.
All right.
So 4,500 yards over under.
Not if Tomas has anything to do with it.
I'm going to go under.
Under. Okay.
I'm going to go over.
Over?
He threw for over last year without Mike Thomas.
I'm going to say under because I believe – if he throws for less yards, that means we're being more successful.
That's correct.
And I don't
subscribe to that.
No, I don't argue that, but over.
Right. Okay, he's going over.
I made this question particularly for Tomas.
Yeah.
And I told Heath before Tomas got here, I'm trying to incorporate it to be a double question. So over and under, no, not over and under, straight up. Total interceptions between Crowley and Harris. Tomas, 15.
No, not going to be 15. But total interceptions between the two of them, I'm going to go with five.
Five? Okay.
Good number. Yeah. Mab, I'll make it an even half dozen.
Dang. I'll say two.
Two?
And so the corresponding question is, based on those interceptions, what week does one of them get cut? Over and under, week 8. Not both of them, just
you see how tough it is because I choose players that, you know, Dave here goes, what? He's never going to make the team. Well, I was waiting for the list. See, I thought you were going to have the list from the whiteboard to show which one of the undrafted free agents.
Right.
I said, we're going to make the team one way or another.
Up. And you know what? That was all contingent on injuries. I mean,
no, I'm just kidding.
Did he make, he made the practice squad though, right?
Who's that?
Jack Allen.
Yeah, he made the practice squad.
Yeah.
That's not the team, that's the practice squad.
Let's move on. Remember, structure here, fellas. Structure.
Go ahead.
Okay. I forgot to give you my hand signals to let you know to move on. But
real quick, just to back my man up, right. I'm going to go over on that 8 games that either one of them gets
okay,
cut.
Okay. All right. So I'm not even going to give an answer. I just want to mess with Tomas there. All right. So what week is it? By which week does.
Well, wait, there's a follow up to that question that you just passed up.
What?
Over and under, for which week will one a day get cut?
You know what? I think he's made the team. I don't think there's going to be enough pressure on him, responsibility on him. That, no, listen, you're talking like I'm a fan of something. Don't I'm supporting him. I'm simply saying his role is going to be so small that it's kind of like being a backup quarterback. When you're going to cut your backup if the starter never gets hurt and he don't have to go in the game?
Before the season starts.
Just the other day. So, you're bringing that up. Yeah,
that's going to come up in the next segment down the road. But, all right.
I have a hand signal for you.
Next question.
All right. So, which week does our new kicker Lutz get cut? By which week?
I'm going to say this. I don't think he's going to get cut.
No? Oh. All right.
I think they might have found somebody who's going to stick. For one season.
Based on what?
Based on Sean Payton. Not on the kicker. Based on Sean
Payton. Okay, so maybe if Sean Payton likes him.
Exactly.
He might keep him around.
I'm
going to
say
while.
Week 2.
Week 2. I'm sorry. I read a bunch of stuff. And
well, they just
like,
cut Shane Graham,
man.
So maybe they'll pick up Shane Graham.
The way the ball came off his foot, and I'm like, you got it. Come on, man. I'm not falling for that.
Yeah, best kicking workout he's ever seen.
Yeah,
have we ever seen anything like this before?
No,
that's what he said.
Somebody will be on a non-guaranteed contract week 2.
Yeah, a prodigy.
Well, look, it could be worse. Tampa Bay spent the second-round draft choice on a head case.
All right. Yeah, that's true. Okay, so moving on. What week does Landon Turner start by? Heath.
Wow. I don't know. I'm going to say.
Thanks for all this insightful input. Well,
I was going to say, look, before they, I don't know what Jari Evans really has left in the tank, but he's already been promoted to starter.
Right.
So
that tells you a lot about Lalita.
So I don't know, right? And so before Evans came back, I would have said, you know, after the bye week. So, like, okay. What, week seven or what's
not think our bye week's early, like yeah, four, right?
Five.
Five. Okay, five. So, yeah, so I would have said, like, maybe week six or seven. Right. Now, I don't know. I'd put it probably over eight.
All right.
I'm going to agree. I remember that I said that the first four games, the starters, the offensive line wouldn't be the best five after the first four games because I thought
yes,
if we didn't pick up Evans, I figured Turner was going to break into the line by the break.
Right.
But having picked up Evans, I totally agree with Heath. It depends. If he plays well for the first four games before the break, then Turner's going to be sitting waiting. Now, if Evans really doesn't have much left in the tank, then it's just a wait-and-see game, then I would go back to my original statement and say, after the break, you'll see Turner. Yeah. Now, I wouldn't be surprised, though, if they start playing Turner in certain instances during the game. That wouldn't surprise me in a certain series because eventually Turner is going to be the right guard, I believe.
Sure.
So that wouldn't surprise me. But taking over the position completely depends on what Evans has, and I would agree with Heath. If Evans has what he has a year left in the tank, then that's good. We'll let Turner sit and learn.
Yeah, I think right now he's given us an extension on.
I agree.
He's given us a little bit more time. I don't think he's the answer to anything.
Oh no.
But
no.
I do think he's obviously a solid veteran. And God, you know, listen, it's funny when he was on the team, we were like, "Hey man, he's a 6-time Pro Bowler. He's one of the best in the league." And he wasn't really that old, but it was one injury, another injury. Man, if he stays healthy, now I'm back to that hopeful thinking that, man, what if he could give us a good, solid season and give us an extra year so that next year we can really address that position. But now I will say that will be the third year in a row we're talking about addressing the guard position.
Well, but we may not have to because we're talking about the right side, and maybe Turner will be good
enough
to be a functioning good. Absolutely. Not great, but a good, you know, not
right.
Just acceptable.
Moving on
the Evans thing, I think that part of it is that, yes, he had a lot of bumps and bruises along the way, but he never had time to heal. Now, when he left the Saints, nobody picked him up. So he hasn't been pounding people all around. You know, it wasn't until late in the game, no OTAs, no nothing else,
right,
that Seattle picked him up. And from what I understand, one of the comments that was made was that he seemed to be in much better shape coming in for the audition, as it were, with the Saints.
Sure. Yeah.
So I'm thinking maybe he's healed up enough that he can get back closer to that standard that we expected before.
You know what? I tried the Fox News thing where I just cut him off and talk over him. That don't work with Tomas.
No, not me, buddy.
Bill
O'Reilly thing where you just over talk them and they shut up and you keep going. So it's not working. I'm feeling the water.
He won't
here.
Be denied.
All right. So next one.
Go ahead.
Number of sacks for Onyemata.
Oh.
Heath.
Three.
Tomas is shaking his head, giving the old man.
At most two.
And that's okay. Really pushing.
All right.
It.
I'm going to go with three, but I want to say this. You see, I don't care for the look that you just made. Here, first of all, a really good defensive tackle in the league if he has five or six sacks. That's a very good defensive tackle, just the stuff they have to contend with in the middle. So if Onyemata gets two or three in spot duty in a what you would call developmental year,
would be
outstanding. I just thought that was
I'm being optimistic there.
I give him two simply because he's going to play on special packages where basically all he's doing is pin his ears back and go.
The coach is pretty
much
okay,
said, I think he can make two in that particular.
I agree.
Now,
two,
if he plays a more
three.
Constant role, it's going to be very hard for him because
well,
it just,
here's
you know,
the thing. I think he has a better chance. Okay, this is just my thinking. You have a better chance of being an impactful pass rushing guy for sacks if you only play in third down rushing situations, and basically you're sitting down on the running downs, you fresh, you come in on the field.
Right. So, I agree with you.
Listen, on first down and 10, they go play action. The chances of a defensive interior tackle getting a sack, very minimal. You know, so it's one of those things where I think that it's actually to his advantage to just have a role where he is just playing a pass rushing third down, third and long, third and seven and more pass rusher.
But you know, as we've said before, this is just like in baseball, you know? You throw somebody a fastball the first time up at bat, they're just clocking it. They won't hit it. But after the first time at bat, you better not throw him another fastball because as a professional,
he's
going to be able to
time.
So if Onyemata only has one technique to rush.
Yeah, only one.
Okay, he might be good the first few times he's in there. He might get a sack. Maybe, who knows?
Right.
But if you're talking about playing against a pro on the other side, after a few times, he's going to say, I got this guy figured out. He only has one move.
All right.
One trick pony.
Okay, so right. Next one here, receiving yards for Thomas, over and under 900. Tomas.
Over.
Heath.
Yeah, I'm going to go over by a smidge.
Scooch.
I couldn't think of by the skin of his teeth.
All right. All right. So, how many weeks is Sterling Moore going to be on the roster? Tomas. How many weeks you give him, buddy?
Not many. No. I don't know. I would say till the break.
Reading what I read today,
I think him and Lutz might get an Uber on the way out in week two.
They can split the cost.
Yeah.
I mean,
they'll drive him down to the Greyhound station.
Same thing as Lutz. If you listen or read what I read today, both of those guys were the team has wanted them for their entire life, and it's finally an opportunity to secure the guy.
Saints finally get their man.
Yeah, finally get their man after years of trying.
Sterling Moore.
I read that.
It was an article.
They're making it out that for a couple of years.
2 years now they've gone after him, and he picked other teams.
He wasn't having it. I've done some things in my life.
Yeah.
You know, a couple of fat chicks, whatever it is.
Well, but he didn't want to have to come in and compete with this backfield we've had over the last couple of years. I mean, who would want to do that?
Who would want to come in knowing they got to compete against Brown?
How come LSU can't get quarterbacks? I mean, you know.
You mean they don't have a quarterback? Huh.
All right.
Shocking news.
Two more. Who's going to lead the team in touchdowns? Tomas.
Who's going to lead the team in touchdowns?
Sneeze! Willie Sneeze!
Drew Brees.
Well done. Well,
you didn't
done.
Say, yeah, okay.
You are the clever one, sir.
Yeah.
Other than quarterback.
Oh, okay, other than quarterback.
I'm going to go with that.
I'm good.
Cooks. I'll go with Cooks.
All right, I'm going to have to go with the tight end, the new guy.
Fleener.
Good zoom tight.
Last question, and then we'll move on to
the close of the show?
Oh, okay. Now, we got all kinds of stuff for you. What week?
Wait a week.
Does Ellerbe go on IR?
One.
Tomas.
He's hurt right now.
I know.
Isn't he on IR now? Yeah.
He didn't practice all week. Got a bad quad.
I mean, when did this happen? I don't know
because it's all week he hasn't practiced.
Yeah. I was all excited. We didn't hear anything negative during preseason. All of a sudden,
I don't think he's going to go on IR, but I'm going to tell you, he's not going to play all 16 games.
That's on you.
We're going to go back to the same situation. But I think it's better because we've got backups that can
cover. I'm going to put the over under at 8.
At 8? Yeah. We got Robinson now, and I think that we're in good hands, much better hands than we were last year.
Oh, sure.
And I felt like we said this. I particularly pointed it out. Look, I like Ellerbe. I think he is a player, and maybe that shows you the low expectations I have for our linebackers. But I'm like, look, we need to keep the guy at a way reduced salary, but we also have to have another guy in the wings ready to play because he's not going to play all the games. Hasn't done it in years, and he's not going to start now, it doesn't look like. So I'm hoping that it's just something simple. He's a veteran. They're just trying to keep him, you know, healthy and that he plays because he is our best linebacker when healthy.
I was actually surprised how much he played in preseason. You know, I thought for the same reason that he would have had less snaps in the preseason. But anyway.
All right, so the next segment is our graffiti hotline. We have no calls. So that means
you might want to give him the number.
Oh, yeah, let's give him the number. Hey, look, I did it. I duct taped the number to the equipment. So if you want to call, and if you don't know how it works, look, you call in.
How does
it
work, Dave?
Let me tell you.
Okay.
Tomas, this is how
it
works.
I like it too.
You call in, you just leave a message like a voicemail on the number, and we'll get to that number in a minute here.
All right.
But once you call in, you leave the message, and then we surgically extract.
Oh, I see. Not with a chainsaw, but with a scalpel.
No. It's high-tech stuff.
Oh, laser. Yeah.
I will yes.
Tape splicing and all that kind of
like
stuff.
You're talking about.
No
like,
use of a pencil to make
physics?
Sure that.
I was talking about it earlier, the new physics, quantum physics.
Quantum physics,
that's
new?
Yes. Yeah. Well, I'm saying, you know, yeah, I guess for me, I just learned about it about 6 months ago. So anyway, we extract this audio file via quantum physics
onto
the podcast, Now the entire world.
So far, it's been done being with theoretical physics.
But apparently, yeah. Well, so far, yes. The graffiti hotline.
Somebody
has
call.
Pretty much been theoretical, but anyway, okay. So are you ready? I'm gonna give you a second. Get your pins out. Get your pins out.
It's got a bunch of sevens in it.
Say, tell them a joke while they get their pen and paper, because you know how frustrating it is. You drive in, you want the number, you're like, oh my God, I need.
All right, let's give them a moment. We'll give them a moment.
Pen. I don't want anybody.
Okay, so a skeleton walks into a bar.
Because apparently our listening audience is as high tech as us. Go get a pen and pencil.
Go get a pen and paper. Like, it's not a podcast.
Somebody get the chisel and the slate out. You know, right. Come on.
These three guys walk into a bar. They sit behind some microphones.
Yeah.
All right, here it is. You ready? I think they're all ready now. 857-957-1997, and this may be your only opportunity to be a star. That's right. You never know. You could get discovered. You could get discovered.
That's it.
Right here.
So, get your 15 minutes.
We're here at the SEC Sports Pub. Tomas got here a little late, so we're going to let him get a beer because he gets all aggravated. You could tell. He's just looking at me. The rest of us, I'm already on tequila. It is the NFL opening game Thursday night. BS and Beer podcast. We have a nice crowd starting to develop here. What is it, about 9 big screens and 40 TVs in this place, man? Great place to watch the game. If you're in California, which is our largest listening audience,
you're a short
anything,
plane trip away.
Yeah, jump in your plane, get over here, watch the game with us tonight. But until then, we're going to take a quick break and we'll be right back.
Unless you know quantum physics,
with
but go
more
ahead.
Stuff. All right.
12 beers on tap, live music every weekend. And 40 TVs, including 8 huge projection screens. The SEC Sports Pub in Lexington, Kentucky. Also your home for New Orleans Saints football every Sunday.
This segment brought to you by BS and Beer Podcast. Twice the entertainment, half the calories. All right, we're back here at the SEC Sports Pub. Man, I mean, the crowd is filing in as we speak. Lines forming outside the door. Yep. Okay, my estimations might be slightly exaggerated by the huge glass of tequila that I drank during the first segment. And a couple of beers here, but I'm enjoying myself. I hope you guys are enjoying yourself as much as I am. And I'm talking to all the people listening, not you two.
Oh, I was going to say, I've never had so much fun.
But, man, okay, now it's time for some Saints news. And we got all kinds of Saints news. First of all, big news, Breeze re-signs. Then the news is, I guess, Uber, the Saints have Uber on retainer sitting outside the facility to dismiss players and bring new players in.
They've been working Uber to death over the last couple of weeks.
Yeah, I know, man. I mean, they, you know what? Thank God they have that app so they could just kind of say, hey, Billy, come on over. I think we need to, need to pick up Forbath over here. He's going to need a ride. Oh, man. Oh, so, okay. So I want to say this before we get into this news. I thought it was really interesting. I didn't watch what is that damn show on HBO?
Fascinating.
NFL,
Hard Knocks.
Hard Knocks. Hard Knocks. I didn't watch it until 2 nights ago. I decided to just watch them all. So I'm watching one point where they have Ogletree, who is the Rams' new starting middle linebacker. And they're talking about struggling to get the defense aligned. Does that sound familiar to you?
Yeah. Yes.
Yes, it does.
Yeah,
and so I'm like thinking to myself, okay, there is an extraordinary athlete. I remember when he came out. I mean, he is a defensive back in a linebacker's body, aggressive, hard hitter, and they're talking about getting the defense aligned. Now you look over to us, and here at middle linebacker, we have their old middle linebacker, James Laurinaitis.
Right.
And while he is nowhere near the athlete that Ogletree is.
Or Anthony.
Especially at this point. Or Anthony. Or Anthony. His ability to get the defensive line should defense aligned.
Right.
Should significantly help this team. Anyway, I found that to be super interesting.
Yeah.
Now, speaking of super interesting things, I'm going to turn to Heath to basically give us the rundown so that we can discuss this new contract that Drew Brees has apparently is 5 years, and he's locked up. And
why don't you just stop and let Heath do it?
Okay, I'm just making stuff up now. But he's explaining to me, and I was still a bit confused about it. And
yeah, so it on paper it's a 5-year deal. In reality, it's a 2-year deal. So they did a 5-year contract so that they could prorate out the signing bonus, $30 million. But in reality, the contract automatically voids after 2 years. And basically, so at the end of the day, the guaranteed money is the $30 million plus $1.25 this year and $13 next year. So it comes out, my math is right, what is that, 44 and
yeah,
a half 40, or so
yeah, right,
or something like that?
44 and a half, exactly.
And so, and he significantly reduced the cap hit this year.
Yeah. Because it voided this year.
Right, it voided it. This wasn't 2 years added on to the year he had left. This
voided
first
this year,
year replaced this year. So essentially, it, what you're really looking at is a one-year extension.
One-year deal.
Yeah.
Really?
A one-year extension. And
created about, what, $14 million or so in salary
cap
space?
I think so. I mean, he had a $30 million cap hit this year, and now that's, what, $17 I believe,
yes.
Right. In actuality?
Yes.
So
right. So my math is great.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's, I'm right
yeah.
on it. Yeah, yeah.
Right.
About $17, $18
million. Yeah.
Yeah, no, what, about $13 yeah. or so?
That's that quantum physics you got.
I was going to say the same thing.
But, yeah, so 17 this year and is 19 next year, I
something
believe,
like
something
that,
like
yeah.
that. So, you know, great for the cap situation. You know, I don't think you can call it anything but fair for a guy of Breeze's stature. You know, and it enables them to not commit for too long at Breeze's age. But if he plays well the next couple of years, this year and next year, they can do something like this again and go on a you
yeah,
know on a small
basis.
Now, the one potential negative is if he was to leave after next year, then you're going to have, I guess, $18 million worth of cap of dead money of
right.
cap,
but
money.
Only for 1 year.
And
for
I
one
yeah,
year.
And I think yeah. it would get accelerated to that to one that year. 1 year.
Right.
So, you know, so there you have it. Anyway, that's
all
the
right.
nuts and bolts.
I think there are a couple of things in there. One, by voiding out this year, you significantly change the entire situation of cap money. Okay, so but, he didn't add it on.
And the question I have, and know? I wrote two things, and one of the questions I have that I'm going to post you to incorporate into what you're going to talk about is, what good does it do us now? I mean, we're all hoping that there's some kind of big trade coming down the pipe, and there's not. Let's keep. But we got all the space now. That space would have been great. Back in the
all right, but I'm going to go back to you because I know you along with many people are upset thinking that you could have gotten the same deal done months
ago. You're right,
but it's not true because his agent came in and said, "Hey, here's what we want: a 5-year deal, $100 million, $85 million guaranteed." Which I'm sure Loomis went, "Really? All right, come back and talk to me later."
You know what? I will say this: Loomis held his water, and he took every bit of the Breeze camp's leverage.
Right.
He okay, if you don't re-sign me now, then you're not going to have money for free agency. Okay. Well, if you don't sign me now, then you're not going to be able to get anybody during training camp to kind of offset some of the guys who've underperformed, like guard or some injuries that we could have.
Now, the truth of the matter is, though,
the week before, and so now basically Breeze, they took all the leverage. They basically said, it makes me feel like the Saints pretty much were saying, hey, we want you, but listen, you're not working at our price, and we're not doing it.
Right. And interestingly, when they thought they had the leverage that they couldn't sign anybody, somehow Loomis was able to restructure a number of contracts to come up with money.
He worked it out.
And we ended up signing some people that we never thought we'd be able to
right.
sign anyway.
Right.
Okay, we didn't get a guard, but I'm going to tell you, and again, this is my perspective of it, there aren't a lot of guards out there that were worth the money they're asking for. Even though we say, you know, well, our guards suck. Well, I'd rather go with a guy who sucks with a low pay than the guy who sucks that we have dead money for the next 5 years.
Or a guy right. who hypothetically is a five, making minimum salary, and then go out and get a six. And that's this whole thing with the kid from
Leary.
Leary.
Yeah.
It's like they're talking about, okay, so let's just say hypothetically that Lito's a four. On a scale from 1 to 10. And Leary's a 6. But Lito costs bare minimum, league minimum.
Yeah.
And Leary's going to cost you a draft pick and a multi-million dollar contract. I'm like, you know what? As much as I want to see the Saints be successful, you keep that.
Another thing is,
and let's also remember that Dallas was interested in Lito.
Right.
And they're interested in letting Leary go.
Yeah.
I think Dallas was looking at it the same way. Like, hey, we could trade a guy that's very similar for less money.
Now, a lot of people don't know that Leary has a knee issue that can't be fixed. And so Leary does not have a 5-year pro career ahead of him.
The whole bone-on-bone thing?
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, and so you're going to basically spend a big chunk of money, give up draft choices for a guy who might physically be able to play two, maybe three seasons. Yeah. That's it. So to me, and like you said, you're going from a, and I don't even think it's that much. I think you're going from a 4 to a 5. Well, to go from a 4, if you're going to go from a 4 to an 8, okay, write me up. But 4 to a 5, I don't think so.
Yeah.
You know, so I think that the Breeze situation, I think it's a win for everybody involved. Because by starting it this year and voiding the last year of the previous contract, then that helps our cap numbers. It helps a lot of things as we go along. Now we're really only extending it one extra year. I truly believe he has two more left, truly. So I see no problem in not even really having dead money that we sign. He signed for this year and next year. And then the third year, we incorporate everything in and there, pay him that money the third year. We're done. There's no dead money. He's done after the third year. He can walk. Now, for him, his side, the thing that they did get in a deal that's very important for them was no trade clause.
And know. No tag clause.
Right. No tag, no
which,
trade.
You which know, was really tag, off the table. It was. Yeah, it was off the table.
The tag doesn't
anyway,
make it. It's the no trade part that really was important. You know, and I think that everybody's happy with all sides are happy with what's there. And I think the fans are happy with what's there.
The only correction to that, I would say, there is no third year. In other words, well, they would have to negotiate another contract.
Yeah, right, right.
Well, it's not. But it's not a decision of, to void it. It is voided
yeah,
after
yeah.
two.
Yeah, what I'm saying is, though, instead of calling
so
it
it's
dead
not an
money,
option. It's not an option. Not, not
right,
a Breeze
it's not
option
like he plays
option.
The third year for the $18 million in cap money. There's no salary built in
right,
for anything after
what
the
I'm
two
saying
years,
is that
you know.
Instead of having the dead money, they can structure a one-more-year extension
oh,
for
yeah,
the
absolutely.
Same amount
yeah,
of money
yeah,
that
yeah,
would have
yeah.
been the dead money. That's what I'm
right,
trying
I got
to say. So that we would have no dead money and he's still playing.
I got you.
He's still contributing to the team. So there you go.
All right. So, okay, some more news that came out, and there's just been a ton of it. I don't know if it's interesting to talk about or not, but we picked up a cornerback in Sterling Moore, released Finnegan, am I pronouncing?
Finnegan.
And then we also, we alluded to in our little conversation earlier about Lutz. The kicker.
Klutz.
What? Klutz, yeah. Lutz, whatever.
We'll see.
I'm not, hey, listen.
We're going to
see
real
soon. Time. Yeah, I'm not going to spend a lot of time learning the guy's
name. You saw
name.
How the ball came off his foot?
Apparently, it just boom. Okay. So I don't know what that was all about. You know, the whole thing is like, I get, and if you're not aware of it, listening out there, veterans who are on the roster during the first week, their salary is guaranteed.
Right, right.
But having said that, I can imagine that Finnegan was, you know, more than a veteran minimum deal, and Sterling Moore is probably no different. So there must be some validity to the idea that, hey, we just think he's better, because it's not like, oh, well, we got Sterling Moore, we're going to cut him and then bring Finnegan back after the first week. It just would make no sense.
Yeah, I think the Saints think that they obviously target him to play the slot.
Right.
And I think they believe that they got a similar or just as good player that's younger than what
they say he plays
is.
Man better. That was the one of the articles I read said that, you know, he plays man better. But from what I can see, I don't think that that's the – you're bringing in these people, in my opinion, you're bringing in these people simply for their leadership and experience because you have these young kids – playing in the backfield. So they're not going to get that much playing time anyway. Now, I'm with you. I don't really understand, Dave, that if it's a veteran deal, they're going to have to be pretty close to each other. It's not going to be like millions of dollars separating these two deals.
And it's
no,
not like,
no.
Okay, you know? Sterling Moore, was he on another team before he got cut?
He got cut by Buffalo.
Okay, so yeah. Then that makes it make a little bit more sense. Hey,
he never actually played for Buffalo.
No, but he was on their squad.
Right.
So it's not like the Saints had access to Moore when they signed Finnegan.
No.
So then
Moore gets
cut, and they say, hey, Finnegan, you're gone. We pick up Moore, and we improve our roster. At least they perceive it that way. So, you know, I can see it. When I first saw that, I was like thinking, did they do the whole veteran thing, you know? So anyway, okay. So moving on to what I think is bigger and better things, and I know this is pretty much old news, but what I would like to do is get y'all opinion on what impact you think Kruger is going to have on the roster, Heath.
Well, I think the Saints obviously think he's going to have an impact. This guy's a starter, and he hasn't even stepped on the field for the Saints yet. Look, I mean, I think he could, if and I think he can, but if he can set the edge, right? I actually think that his forte is rushing the passer, okay? But I think at the end of the day, as it relates to the Saints, is just as much as getting pressure on a quarterback, if Kruger does a better job of holding up on that end, then I think the Saints are going to be a vastly – and when I say vastly improve, I'm saying, you know, low 20s or something. Like, you know, I'm not saying they can all of a sudden be in a top 10 in the league.
We've discussed that before. Going from 32, I wish I could remember the statistic. I looked it up, saw it, but it was so long ago. If I'm not mistaken, the difference between 32 and, like, 12 was – golly, I'm not going to be able to verbalize this, but what I'm saying is that the difference between 32 and 12.
In other words, it's not necessarily linear. There's not the same drop between each position.
Exactly. It's not like you're going from 6 foot to 5'11".
The 32nd team could actually be twice as horrible as the 31 team.
And thank you for helping bail me out on that one.
Now, the thing that scares me a little bit, if I understand this correctly, Kruger's never actually played defensive end. He's effectively played defensive end by being outside linebacker in a 3-4. But he's never been a hand-in-the-dirt 4-3 defensive end.
To me, semantics. I mean, at the end of the day, as long as he's not required to cover anybody,
right?
He's basically going to come off the edge, set the edge, and rush the quarterback.
Right, and that's what he is going to do here. I don't see Dennis Allen dropping him into coverage.
Tomas, thoughts?
My thought is that I would agree with Heath that I think it's the primary reason here is to set that edge, because if you look at Guachum, that's his problem.
Yes.
Right?
Right.
He's got a world of talent.
He's just not
strong
enough yet.
He's improved a lot from not even ever playing that position to suddenly playing it within the last couple of years.
I agree.
But he just doesn't know how to set that edge. And so if you look at it and say, okay, well, we got Edebali at the very beginning here, but who do we have behind him, and in what situation can we put somebody else in? Well, they cut Tull. Obviously, he wasn't the answer.
Right.
You know, and then they say, well, okay, we got Guachum, but Guachum can't set the edge. So when Kruger became available, it became obvious, I think, to them to say, if we can get this guy at the right price, we do believe he can set the edge. Right. And that'll make a world of difference to the interior and to, you know, Cam on the other side.
Right.
So to me, I think that's the bottom line here. And we'll see what's in his tank, you know. And
the really interesting part is that he's not backing up Edebali, though. I mean,
no,
he's already penciled in his...
Well, I think because of his size.
Well, I think Edebali did a competent job of that during the preseason, though, from what I saw.
Well, yeah, but
so,
I think it also has to do with which particular base set is going to be played or not played. You're going to... You know, it's
true.
Just like we talked about in basketball.
We talked about it before,
you know,
yeah.
Some
yeah.
people on the bench...
Yeah, playing starter minutes and right. you, when you right. came off
you,
the bench.
You have, in my opinion... The loss of Kakaha, Kruger offsets that. I did think that Elabali was playing much better.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
And I saw things in him. I saw him be tough against the run, set the edge. The bottom line is he can't do it all. He's not big enough to be like an every down, every snap player.
Right.
So to bring in Kruger to let him kind of absorb those run down plays,
yeah,
he's 270 pounds. He should be better physically. And then not that Edebali can't do it, regardless of who the starter is or who's the backup, that's irrelevant to me. Maybe to them it matters.
Yeah.
But now you bring him in on the base package.
That's what I'm saying.
And then all of a sudden you have Edebali helping out on third down.
Second and long.
Sure,
you know?
Sure.
Because the big question is how many times can you do it?
Right. And so now what he did was bring depth that we lost at the position.
Yeah,
we were hoping that Guachum would develop, and unfortunately he only – like, I saw flashes. Like, I was like, ho-hum about him. And then all of a sudden, I don't know if it was the third
lower,
or fourth preseason.
You know, going back to what you talk about, fat ankles, skinny ankles, and you know, he just doesn't have that lower body yet.
I think he still needs another year in the in the NFL weight room. And I have not given up on him.
He's one of those guys. No, he's got too much
talent. He had, like, literally three plays in a row in, I don't know if it was the third or fourth preseason game, and I was like, it was the third one. And I was kind of frustrated at the time, and all of a sudden he made a play, and then he made another play, and I was like... sarcastically texting you guys,
right,
and then
all
of a sudden the sarcasm went away, and I'm like, freaking Elibata, watch him came to play, you know? So, anyway, okay.
It's a matter of consistency.
So that's the end of our Saints news for now, but what we're going to move into, for me, one of the most fun segments that we do is the Pick'em segment. Now, before we get to it, I want to remind everybody one more time, And please keep in mind, if you feel like you're kind of late to the party because you may not hear this podcast till Sunday or what have you, we did do a one-week drop. So in other words, whatever your lowest score is, it will be dropped off. So if you don't get to this podcast until Monday after the Sunday's games, you're still in it to win it because your lowest score will be dropped. And if you have a zero,
that'll be your lowest.
That'll be your lowest this week, and then you can continue on. So we did that purposely so that, because I, you know, these things kind of snuck up on me, and I didn't get a chance to get the league started and get it going, and I apologize for that. But we did the one-week lowest score out thing so that everybody
yes.
can get in and give you another week. We already have about 12 people, aside from us, who've joined. Now, having said that, we haven't decided, I haven't talked about it, if they're going to have to beat us to get to that money. And that's a tall tale. That's a challenge right there. I mean, if they understood
yeah.
the prolific football yeah. knowledge sitting at
this table.
Right?
Don't talk about it too much. You're going to scare them all in.
Yeah, okay. I'm going to scare y'all away from all this football knowledge you're listening to right now. <That's it>. Now hey, no, seriously, jump in there. Let me give you the ID number. It go to Yahoo NFL Pick'em, insert the number 46999, and then the password is BSB, as in BS and beer, BSB123. Join the league. We're going to give $100 away to the leader, and I'm going to have to fight these guys. I know it, because if they come in the top and I tell them they don't get the money, they're going to be all upset
what?
With me.
What?
Yeah. That, you know.
The most interesting part of this whole thing is that Yahoo is still in business.
Maybe I should send them the $100.
Yeah.
Just to keep them
around
for a
minute. I think they need it, yeah.
Okay, so then now I guess we got to put in a contingency plan. What if Yahoo goes out of business in the middle of the season?
Assuming. Subject to conditions, and I can't talk that fast.
That's right. Well,
yeah, give him the lawyer talk. Yeah, give him the lawyer talk.
If Yahoo goes out of
limited liability corporation. All right, so hey, we're going to take another break. And we're going to come back with the pick'em segment, and we're going to close the show out, get ready for some NFL football. And, I mean, I'm excited.
Go Broncos.
Broncos, that's right. I just want to see old Camafed get smoked out there. All right, we'll be right back.
Oh, you didn't know? Your ass better call somebody.
You know, they know what's real, and I leave everything else out on the field. I prepare the right way. I have a mentality. I have a standard that I set for myself.
Tell the truth.
Cam fumbled the football late in the fourth quarter when Von Miller stripped it away from him again. But rather than trying to recover the football, Newton took a step back.
I want the truth. You can't handle the truth.
That was the play that put the final nail in the coffin. Apparently, Newton's explanation for not going after the football was his fear of getting injured.
And I leave everything else out on the field.
Tell the truth.
I don't dive on one fumble because the way my leg was, it could have been contorted in a way. Okay, you say my effort. I didn't dive down. I fumbled. That's fine.
Tell the truth. Tell the truth.
But we didn't lose that game because of that fumble.
You can't handle the truth.
You know what I'm saying? I'm here to win football games.
Tell the truth.
I never once offended anybody.
Tell the truth.
And I'm a loser.
And the truth shall set you free.
So here's our pick segment. I decided to start with the two greatest picks in Saints history.
Brett Favre goes back to pass. He pumps. Now he fires over the middle. Intercepted. I can't believe what I'm seeing right now. It was intercepted by Tracy Porter. Near side to the 40. And John Sullivan runs him down at the 47-yard line.
Break down, come on.
All right, welcome back to the BS and Beer Podcast. I'm Dave Romero here with Heath Elson-San, Tomas Mauricio. We're here for the last segment. We're doing the picks. So Tomas is having problems logging
in. It is all caps, by the way. You might want to tell the people on the air.
All right, apparently it's all caps. Tomas is all bent out of shape. He can't get in.
I'm in now.
High tech now. Quantum physics, bro. Quantum physics. All right, here's the problem. We got 10 minutes now.
What?
All right. 10 minutes to get these picks done. And you know, everybody's looking forward to the Stone Cold Lead Pipe Lock of the Week.
Yeah.
Get your bookies on the phone. Call Vegas. Do what it is that you have to do. But you're going to want to have that phone by your ear right now because you never know what game I'm going to pick is the Stone Cold Lead Pipe Lock of the Week. It's like stealing. It's like stealing. All right, first game of the week we got tonight. The big game, the first one of the season. We got Carolina at Denver. We got Scam Newton against the Denver Broncos. Cametitis, fumbleitis.
Yeah.
Heath, what you got, buddy?
Denver.
Denver.
Denver all the way.
Denver.
Tomas, Denver. I think we're sweeping across there. Okay, next game, Tampa Bay at Atlanta. You got Tampa Bay's a 3-point favorite at Atlanta. I mean, that's interesting right there, Tampa Bay being a favorite.
Yeah, I'm going to go with Atlanta on that one.
Atlanta.
Atlanta. Okay, I'm going Tampa Bay.
Oh.
All right, so moving on, the next game we got
Minnesota
at Tennessee. Tennessee is a 2-point favorite. We just had Minnesota's quarterback went down with a vicious injury. It's kind of disgusting. They may not know if he'll even play next year.
Yeah.
And they got somebody playing quarterback for him this week. I'm not sure who it is. I'm not sure they know who it is.
Yeah.
I actually didn't check my voicemail. I may have gotten a call. I may be heading to Minnesota to play some ball.
Go ahead.
I'm not sure. I'm not sure.
I think they sent the plane for Brett Favre first and then for
that's
you.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah. Just make sure in the event that you guys can handle all this, if they call me up to Minnesota to play quarterback for him. So, Heath.
Got
to
take Tennessee on that one.
All right.
Tennessee.
Tennessee. We got to sweep again. All right. Next, we got San Diego, who's getting 7 points at Kansas City. That's a lot of points in the NFL. Heath.
I'm going to take Kansas City and give up the 7.
Tomas. All right, I got the same thing. Yeah, San Diego, and that's a team we play, in week 2 or 3? We're playing them really early.
Yeah.
And
the other thing, first week picks are tough, right? I mean,
you haven't seen anything.
Yep. We don't really know anything, but, you know.
Yep.
That said, I got to go with Kansas City.
Me too.
All right, so then the next game. Oh, who's these guys? You got the Oakland Raiders. I think we got some Raiders fans over there in the back corner. Yeah, I think so. I'm not sure, but I recall
too
hearing
bad.
That.
So sad.
Yeah.
All right, so, okay, now they've become hecklers. I should have left them alone.
Yep.
Yep. All right, so Oakland Raiders against our very own New Orleans Saints. Heath, what do you say?
I'm going with Oakland, Dave.
You going with Oakland?
No, I'm kidding.
Oh, I thought he was going to step out the box.
No. No, Saints are going to get it done.
Saints going to get it done, says he. What say you,
Dome
Tomas?
Dome field advantage coming back.
Well, you know, when we made the preseason picks, I did say that they were going to lose the first game.
Yeah.
But I've changed my mind.
So that puts your season record at like 12 wins now. Yeah. Okay. Flip-flop pancakes, y'all.
Oh, yeah. Ooh, yes. Ooh, yes, yeah. I like that.
Shout out some flip-flop pancakes, yeah. All right. So, okay, I picked New Orleans, too. I'm not being a homer. I just feel like
yes, you are, but that's okay.
I feel like Oakland's a young team, very talented. I think I would rather catch them in week 1 than catch them in week 10. So I'm going to go ahead, and we got another sweep. All right, moving on to the next game. We got the Cincinnati Bengals. My man Leo standing back there. He's excited about this pick. He wants to know who we're going with. He's always really supportive of the Saints. So what say you there, Tomas?
As the first team I'm going to pick that's actually not the home team, I'm picking the Bengals.
The Bengals. All right.
Yeah, this one was actually tough for me being in New York, but I'm going with the Bengals as well.
I'm going. You know what? I won't hold the excitement up. I'm going to go with Cincinnati myself, give up that 2.5 points and on the road. And next on, we got the Cleveland Browns at Philadelphia. Yeah. But here's the thing. Philadelphia is starting a rookie quarterback. But Cleveland is getting 4 points. What say you, Tomas?
I'm going with the Eagles and the rookie quarterback.
Okay. Yeah. Rookie quarterback, Eagles. He? Yeah. Same thing?
It's Cleveland.
All right. We think too much alike because I'm going Philadelphia. Next game up, Green Bay at Jacksonville. Jacksonville's getting 4.5 points.
Wow. You know what? This was one of the hardest picks for me. I think Jacksonville is another young, up-and-coming team. But that said, at the end of the day, I went with Green Bay.
Green Bay. All right. Scott's going to enjoy, he's going to like that pick.
My apologies to Scott.
Uh-oh.
I'm going Jacksonville.
Jacksonville, the pick for Tomas. All right. Yep. So I'm going Green Bay on that one. And you know what? I hate to say it. We get a nice crowd of Green Bay fans in here. I kind of feel like Green Bay, I don't know, they feel like they're a little bit on a slide.
Yeah.
And we'll see because
we'll see if Jordy Nelson writes the ship, you know?
Tight end. See if the new tight end works for them. And see if Jordy's back or not.
See if Eddie Lacy has got too much going on.
It's at Jacksonville. And here I'm going to agree with you with what we said about Oakland. I'd rather get Green Bay in the first game than Green Bay in the 11th game.
Agreed. All right, next up, Buffalo at Baltimore. Buffalo getting 3 points. We got a Buffalo fan over here heckling us now. Let's see what we got. Heath, what you say, brother?
I went with Baltimore at home.
Oh, boo! Boo that man! Boo that man! Yep. You in here for weed? Boo that man!
Keep booing. I'm taking Baltimore.
Oh, no.
Oh, God.
But let me tell y'all something, fellas. This is all that matters. This week, Buffalo Bills at Baltimore. My Stone Cold Lead Pipe Lock of the Week. Right there, Buffalo. I don't know why. I don't know. Yeah.
You just jinxed the Buffalo people.
Do I sound confident? Yeah. I'm pandering. Yeah. I'm pandering. I'm doing a little Hillary Clinton over here. Wait, did I say Hillary Clinton?
Yeah.
Hillary Clinton pandering over to the crowd. I just did my Stone Cold Lock of the Week. Buffalo giving up 3 points. No, getting 3 points. Oh, I feel even better about my lock. I feel better about my lock. There was a lock when I thought they were giving up three.
So you made a Stone Cold Lead Pipe Lock of the Week, and you didn't actually know the line? That's pretty
good. That's right. That's right. All right. So, moving on. We got Chicago at Houston. Chicago getting 6.5 points.
Not enough.
Not enough. Hey, man, listen, maybe I just have that bad taste in my mouth after that third preseason game.
Yeah.
I mean, Houston is just going to dismantle people.
Yeah,
Who don't have a upper-tier quarterback, who don't have an offensive line that is just completely solid, they are going to just rip people apart.
Yeah.
I mean, because I feel like their offense will be improved. Now, I'm not saying Osweiler is the next great quarterback, but I do believe –
we know their defense is great. It's largely going to rest on how well Osweiler plays. But, man, they got some weapons on offense. They got some receiving weapons.
Yeah, I mean, it's nasty.
Houston,
my thing about Houston, I'm going to put them in the old Saints category back in the late 80s, early 90s. Great defense, an offense that can get it done. Maybe not a team that when they go up against a real complete team – that they'll be able to win the game, but they're going to beat up most teams that they play with their defense.
And they're going to start by beating up Chicago.
Yep, and start by beating up Chicago. All right, so moving on, we got Miami at Seattle, and Miami is getting 10.5 points.
Yeah, not enough.
Not enough for you,
I don't think so, no.
You need some more?
Well, so in Seattle, I know it's not bad weather season yet necessarily.
I'm going to say this. At this point, Dave is going to be happy because guess who came off the pup list this week?
Jimmy Graham, soft serve.
Soft serve. I picked
her up in like the ninth round of my fantasy. Oh,
doesn't mean he's going to play, but he's off the list.
Hey, but at least he's eligible to participate in football.
And the guard who dispatched Jari Evans out of Seattle has a high ankle sprain.
High ankle sprain. So they down. Here's the other thing. So did you make a pick?
Seattle.
All right. So I I got Miami. I'm going with Miami.
Whoa,
they're the
man.
Up-and-coming. They
upset
got,
special.
You got the upset special. It's not like a Stone Cold lock,
yeah.
but it's an upset special.
Ooh,
all
man.
Right. So what we got here, we got Miami.
That tequila's really getting to you, brother.
No, hey, listen, it's getting kind of late. We're almost done because we got to end it here pretty quick. The game's coming
well,
on.
Well, let's go, brother.
But here's the thing. Miami, a lot of talent. If they can get their quarterback situation to be productive.
Oh, now he pipes up. We
yeah,
picked
now,
Cincinnati
now you're
already.
Pipe up. You're over here. We moved across the games already, Leo. All right. Seattle, how are they going to be without beast mode? How are they going to be without this new flame dangle? They don't have Jari Evans. I mean,
yeah.
you don't have
That's
Jari
true.
Evans. It's hard to
I
do
might
something.
Have to reconsider my
it's, hard, it's hard to do any
That's
business
tough,
in this league without
yeah, so
Jari Evans.
I think instead of being favored by 10, maybe it's only 9. But
yeah,
it's okay.
So, all right. So moving on. Moving on, we got
Cowgirls and the Giants.
The Giants and the Cowgirls. I got
At
Dallas.
The Cowgirls. You got Dallas.
Yep.
I
well,
got
because
the Giants.
Like, here's the thing. I used to hate Dallas. My favorite team was the Saints and whoever's playing Dallas. Now I have no respect for Dallas, so I don't care anymore. like it's just like
So you're taking the Cowgirls?
Yes.
Yeah, I'm taking the Giants.
Yep, Giants for me, too. Even though I'm not an Eli fan.
And I got Ezekiel Elliott in my league.
Old Dak Prescott's not going to get it done.
Nope.
Dak. Oh, Leo thinks Dak is the next superstar, all-pro, Hall of Fame quarterback.
He would be if he went there.
Maybe in the future.
Go ahead.
All right, so moving on, Detroit at Indianapolis. Detroit getting 3.5 points. What say ye, Tomas?
Well, this is a really tough one for me because I'm sorry, Gary, but it's a tough pick.
Yeah.
It really is. But I'm going to go ahead and pick
Indianapolis.
Indianapolis.
I figured that was coming. I don't think he...
At the risk
Gary's
of inflaming Gary, I got to go with Indianapolis.
Gary was supposed to be here. I don't know if he's, but he'll listen. Gary, I got your back, bro.
Has he slid down the bar
yep.
stool already? Or
no? I got Detroit. I got Detroit. I'm going to take the 3.5 in Indianapolis. Indianapolis got a lot of skill. They're a mess on the offensive and defensive lines. I think that Detroit can do some damage. It'll be interesting to see what Stafford does without a receiver that he just throws the ball up in the air. And the guy, yeah, just make a play.
Yeah.
So I'll be interested in seeing what he can do without Megatron. And you know, I'm hoping that I say hoping. I think it might make him a better quarterback. All right. So moving on. Now we got New England with a new quarterback, at least for a few weeks, at Arizona.
Heath. Yeah, I'm going with Arizona.
Arizona,
even though 6 is a lot of points, you know.
This, my friend, is my. Stone Cold!
You got to come up with your own thing.
I will.
Man.
That's why I didn't do the whole thing.
Yeah, okay. Now we're going to have everybody's going to have screaming. It's got to be maybe some wrestling.
I
related.
Truly believe that of all the games this week, this would be the game that could make you some money if you are so inclined. Arizona, I believe, will beat the Patriots.
Arizona.
And cover the spread.
Beats the Patriots and beats the spread.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's what I got, too. So I don't know. I don't think that's any.
In Arizona.
Yeah, in Arizona. New England with
Garoppolo.
Garoppolopolis.
Yeah. No.
Yeah, I saw that commercial for one of those games that you play on your phone. Garoppolopolis.
Yeah.
Whatever. All right.
I said Garoppolo, but now, Janine Garoppolo, either one.
Yeah, the comedian.
Same result.
Right?
Exactly.
So now we got Pittsburgh at Washington. Now, we got Steeler fans in the house. Here's the thing. I got Ben Roethlisberger in like the 5th round. I'm a big supporter now. Pittsburgh. And they're like, here's the thing. As Saints fans, they're the fake black and gold. So it's okay because they are black and yellow or something.
Yeah.
So I'm seeing if I can get a look over here.
Bumblebees.
Yeah, there it is. There it is. All right. The Bumblebees. So I got Pittsburgh going up against Washington. I'll give them the 3 points. Tomas.
Pittsburgh.
Pittsburgh.
We're unanimous. Pittsburgh.
Yeah. I think Pittsburgh's going to beat the brakes off of some teams with that offense. I mean, woo.
Yeah.
Potent. All right. So now the newly relocated Los Angeles Rams.
Lord have mercy.
At San Francisco. Maybe
Lord
the most
mercy.
Putrid game of the week. Like the least likely, least game I want to watch.
Yep.
So what say you, Heath?
You know, man. You know, we got the rookie quarterback playing in for the Rams in San Francisco, but we got the Rams giving up 2.5 points. I had to go with Frisco on this one.
All right, Tomas.
It's a good thing this is the second game on Monday night because I'll be sleeping because I don't care to watch this game anyway. And I just can't. They're not starting the rookie quarterback for L.A.
Oh, that's right. I'm thinking about Philadelphia. Yeah. Sorry.
Wentz is starting up.
Yeah, who's starting in L.A.?
Somebody. I think they do have a quarterback. I'm pretty sure
they do
about
have
that.
Somebody.
Yeah, yeah, okay, they got somebody.
Keenan?
Case Keenum?
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah, I'm still going with San Francisco.
So, yeah, I'm going to have to go with San Francisco. I'm sorry.
I mean, how can you pick against Gabbard? I mean, come on.
Well, it's hard because they still have Gurley over there in L.A. So,
no, what about what's his name? The guy doesn't stand for the national anthem anymore.
Oh, Kaepernick?
Yeah, I mean, that's got to be a big thing, isn't it?
Yeah, just for that reason, I shouldn't pick San Francisco. Matter of fact, I'm going to change my pick. No, I'm not.
You're still going with Los Angeles? All right. I'm going to pick Los Angeles.
I might have to do a flip-flop pancake on this one.
Yeah, just Kaepernick. All right. Yeah, man. All right. Whatever, dude. Okay, so yeah, I got Los Angeles. Anyway, yeah,
I picked LA too.
I don't know where I was at thinking with the rookie quarterback. I have my teams mixed up.
Right. Listen, I want to thank all the people who quickly jumped on. We have like 12 people so far who are part of our Pick'em League.
Yes, sir.
For the BS and Beer podcast, and I look forward to interacting with you guys. And I'm gonna give you hell. Listen, these guys here, Tomas and Heath, they catch hell every day. Every time it's either text or here when we're recording. But unfortunately, now that you've kind of found your way into our little circle, you're going to catch hell too. But we appreciate it, and I look forward to interacting with you guys. One more pick. We got to have the season record for the Saints.
Season record.
Heath, what say you with the Saints and the schedule here?
Man, you know what? I'm going 9-7.
9-7.
Yeah.
Tough schedule. That's pretty
tough schedule, but I think 9-7.
All right. I see the intellectual look. Tomas is pulling his glasses down to the end of his nose, scholastically looking at us.
Well, I'm just going to say 10-6.
Whoa.
Dang. All right. Like, honestly, I literally could go from
6-10?
No.
That's what you said the other day. Come on now.
Yeah, I could go from 6-10 to 9-7. I don't know which one it's going to be. It's just one of those things that it's hard because so many things could happen, and maybe it's me looking at it from like, oh, what happens if the positive spin happens?
Yeah.
But I think I'm just going to have a schedule. Every time I think about the schedule, I just get a little negative.
It's a tough one. At least on paper from last year.
I'm gonna go.
Statistically, you got the best choice, the best odds at going with 7-9.
That's right.
And you know what? Here's the thing:
that's
what is
you
like
go 7-9. It's been 7-9 forever.
Just to pander a little bit, I'm going 8-8.
Eight and eight.
You must be a registered independent, huh? Can't make a commitment.
All right. Hey, we did it. They're doing a national anthem right now for the kickoff to the NFL season.
Go Broncos!
Go Broncos! Scam Newton, I think he actually made it. I think he took his own private limo to the field. He didn't warm up with his teammates or anything. That's how he rolls. But anyway, this has been the BS and Beer podcast. I got Heath Elson-San over here. Say something, Heath.
Goodbye.
All right, I got Tomas to my right. Tomas, say something to the kind folks.
Something to the kind folks.
All right, man. I'm Dave Romero. You've been listening to the BS and Beer podcast. We look forward. We'll talk to you like on Monday night or Tuesday because we're going 2 days a week now.
Yeah.
Mondays and Thursdays.
We'll talk about
recording
that win next time we come up.
That's right. And then we'll also have our results from the
post-mortem on
so anyway,
Mondays.
Without further ado, good night, everyone.
And anyway, the person who sits here is but the most conspicuous member of a superb team of journalists, writers, reporters, editors, producers, and none of that will change. Furthermore, I'm not going away. I'll be back. And that's the way it is.